Also think about when you failed doing stuff before. Were there any things in common? Is it that you end up kind of burning out and you lack motivation? Do you pace yourself appropriately? All of that is a part of individual readiness. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Fast Forward Podcast. We are continuing our discussion on hope and how to cultivate hope using change management models. And today's focus is going to be on probably like the OG of change management. This is super simple. This is your intro to change, Kurt Lewin's three-step model. And the Kurt Lewin three-step model is super simple because it's got three steps. That is unfreezing, changing, and then refreezing. Let's back up for a second and talk a little bit about Kurt Lewin. Kurt Lewin is actually the creator of action research, or he's the first person to document it and call it that. He is one of the OGs, OG, triple OGs of social psychology and organizational psychology and organizational development. We still use so many of his theories, his strategies, his style, his frameworks, and for a reason, because they're really good. Most people have heard of the Kurt Lewin three-step model, either explicitly, you had to study it, you've seen it used by consultants exactly as is, or you have seen the outcomes of it. Because again, this was one of the first ones I learned even before I started studying org psychology. Why I like it, especially for people who are new to change management, is because it's very simple. It's three steps and it's easy to remember. It is also easy to communicate where you are in the change. So especially when stuff gets rocky and sticky and folks are like, what's the point of all of this? And folks start getting upset. This one is good because you could say, hey, you know what? I know things are tough right now. We're still doing a little bit of the unfreezing work, but we're about to move into implementing the changes that we've talked about. I know it's been 6 months, but just bear with us. Then that tends to kind of quell the discomfort, the anger, frustration. Not always, but it can be very helpful. Sometimes, though, it's too simplistic. So sometimes it's just not complex enough or not detailed enough to handle complex change. And this is what I mentioned on the last episode, which is that you don't have to and probably shouldn't only use one change model, whether that's in your personal life or in your professional life, in your companies, in your career. You're probably going to need to combine a few. So actually, the Kurt Lewin model in combination with the competing values framework can be really dope, especially for managing like scope creep, because you can always reground whatever stage or step you're on in your core values. So that might be really helpful for y'all. When we dig into thinking about the three steps, the first step, which is unfreezing, that is focused on organizational readiness. So getting people ready for the changes that will take place. You will typically see a lot of data gathering, a lot of assessment, a lot of conversations, whether in individual interviews or things like focus groups, because the goal is to get as much information, assess how folks feel about it, what could potentially be some of the resistance, what didn't work before, to make sure that by the time you start implementing changes, stuff is ready to go. Now, if you are applying this model to your own individual life, you still need to do some prep work. That reflection that you sit down and do when you're thinking about your lofty goals, which are so amazing. Also think about when you failed doing stuff before. Were there any things in common? Was it the same person who was always a naysayer and it got you distracted and discouraged? Is it always the fact that you're bad at time management and you don't always manage your time well enough to get stuff done and meet your milestones? Is it that you end up kind of burning out and you lack motivation? Do you pace yourself appropriately? Who is in your corner? Who is your support system? Who is in your ecosystem? All of that is a part of individual readiness, because when you don't have answers to that and then stuff start getting thick, you gonna wish you did, and that's just gonna hold you up, if not completely block or stop you. So again, whether you're talking about for your company if you're an entrepreneur, for your team if you're a leader, or for your own individual, personal, professional life, that prep work is gonna be your best friend. One of the best outcomes of the prep work, again, is readiness. You have to be ready to make changes. Just like I can't bake a cake unless I have cut the oven on and preheated it. You have to be ready. You cannot bake a cake unless you preheat that oven. It's the same concept. I cannot bake the cake unless I get all the ingredients out to put them into the mixing bowl. I don't care how much I want the cake. If I don't want to do all of that prep work, then guess what I should go do? Go buy the cake from somebody else. And even then, I still need to make sure we'll have transportation. Is the place opened? Are they selling that flavor? So again, readiness sets you up to be able to get anything done. The second step in Kurt Lewin's model is changing. So this is when you start actually implementing the changes that are taking place. Now, with the implementation process, this is where sequencing is going to be crucial, because I have seen in many cases, whether with my clients or even when I was in-house, a huge part of sequencing is making sure that you connect with the right influencer. So if you know that Sheila is so funny, and so in the Black community, we'd be like Sheila. If you know that Sheila loves to gossip and Sheila is still mad that she didn't get promoted 17 years ago and you trying to implement this new program, Sheila is going to tear your whole situation up. So you need to go talk to her right now to make sure that she knows everything. You might even give her a little bit of rope to be like, all right, cool. Yeah, this is what I want to say. I want to do this. Cool. Get her bought in. She ready for it. And then Sheila is going to share and spread the word. Yeah, we can do it. You could trust that person. And it's going to make your whole life easier. But skip talking to her and see what happens. Because I've mentioned in several episodes before, people know their job. They know the company. They know their team. Sometimes they even know you way better than you know yourself or any of those other things. And they know how to do stuff right, and they know how to sabotage something if they really want to. So you cannot leave them behind. And that leads to the third part, right? So now that you have gotten the organization ready, so you've unfreezed, you have now started the change process. And at that point, you are now supporting and facilitating other people being involved in it and sequencing steps the right way. Now you've made the change and you're trying to refreeze or stabilize the changes that you've made. This is where it gets tricky, because if you've done your job right, adoption should be easy and you really can just focus on reinforcement, meaning rewarding the right people, recognizing the people who work really hard. And sometimes that might mean you recognize and reward your resistors for being willing. It's like with a toddler or a little kid, and it's like, oh my goodness, you tied your shoes. Oh my goodness, you went to the potty. And in your mind, you're like, but geez, it took us all this time. But that's going to encourage them to stick with it. It's the same thing. Conversely, if you did not handle your business correct, don't even try to refreeze it. You need to stay in that change process and iterate on that as many times as you need to be able to get stuff done and make it stick. Because what you don't want to do is refreeze chaos. Try refreezing a mess and see how bad it gets. And this happens all the time with consultants. So if I got any consultants that's listening to this, let me tell y'all something. A deck is not going to do it. It's not going to do it. You just turning out a deck and thinking like, okay, they're ready to refreeze. No, baby. No. You might as well just put up them posters that they be having in the lunchroom that don't nobody read. The deck is simply an archive. It is not the change itself. The change is messy and it requires grassroots effort and it requires engagement and connection and intimacy. And if you haven't done the work to do that, you haven't changed anything. You haven't changed anything. You as a consultant, and I'll say we, because it's something that I make sure that I'm keeping my pulse on too. If we don't appropriately connect with people, what we will do is initiate and undergird chaos and then leave and make the organization even worse than it was. I could think of so many jobs where a consultant came in and folks that weren't even thinking about leaving after that consultant was done with their engagement, folks were quitting in droves because it exposed fragile cracks that were just waiting on the right pressure to break apart a whole team or a whole program or a whole department. And it's not really worth that. I think sometimes as consultants, our egos get in the way. Not sometimes, a lot of times. And we get so excited about models and we get so excited about changes. But it's not always worth it. There have been times where I've come into an organization and senior leadership swore up and down, this is what we need. We got to do this. People get on my nerves. They doing this. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get to talking to people. And I'm like, hold on. My point of contact is the problem. Like, you are the problem. Folks doing what they doing. They straight. And I had to be honest with the CEO. Like, no, actually, the issue is this person right here. Like, folks are interested in getting on board with this. But the way this person is handling this, they're going to blow it up every time. And they were shocked that I said it. But I'm like, y'all paid me to tell you the truth. I could just massage it and make it sound cute and pretty. But that ain't going to get nothing done for nobody. As a consultant, it's important that you are honest, not just about your bottom line or your ROI or your profit margin, but you got to be honest about what is going to make the organization better. Now, if you do that the right way, sometimes you can recontract. I've had that happen. Like when I got into a project and I was like, no, what we thought we were going to be able to get done, it can't get done. Like this doesn't make any sense. People are not going to rock with this. We are not going to be able to meet this timeline. And I think it would make it worse. Part of you influencing as a consultant is coming back to your client and your point of contact, the person who's signing your contract is saying, I don't think this is the best way forward. I think we need to do something different. And you can come with the problem and the solutions and give them options, two or three, and let them choose, even though you know the one they probably should choose. But to just go forward and you know something is not working, that's just ridiculous. And I've actually, it's one of the reasons why I don't even like subcontracting anymore. That's a whole other, there's a whole other conversation. I don't like subcontracting because remember, I told y'all in the last one that I care deeply about excellence. And that's one of the reasons why my company's differentiators are intimacy, creativity, and efficiency. That intimacy piece is so important. If I see something, I got to say something. If I see that what we were originally trying to do is not going to make sense, is not going to accomplish it, I want to do something different. I might not even charge the client any more money, but I just know what it is they said to do, it just is not working. That is one of the top ways that I get repeat business. And I'm just being honest with y'all. Most of my clients return because they know if I tell you how you going about this, how you thinking about this, I don't think that's going to work. They know I'm not saying it to price gouge. They know I'm not saying it to be slick. They know I'm not saying it to be a distraction. They know I'm not saying it just to be nasty. They know that I'm saying it because I really have assessed it, really looked at it. I've probably done some research, found external sources to back it up, and I'm coming with an alternative or multiple alternatives that they can choose from that'll be good for them. And I communicate that to them. And then I solicit feedback. I talk about, you know, why they might not want to, or has that been done in the past? Regardless of whether or not they agree, regardless of whether or not they liked it when I said it, they respect the fact that I present it in that way and that I'm committed to doing the right thing. And people come back again and again, and they refer me to folks. There have been people who I just knew, I'm like, they don't even like me. And they either came back a couple months later, like, hey, can we work with you again? I'm like, what? Or they ended up referring me to somebody else and was like, she's really good. Okay. Because again, it's not always about just pacifying your client. It's about doing the right thing because you are the expert, not because you know how to make money. You are the expert because you have the knowledge, the skills, the ability to integrate information in such a way that compels them. And they probably couldn't do that on their own, because if they could, they would have just did it in house. I don't know how this episode ended up being consultant focused, because it was really supposed to be about senior leaders and entrepreneurs. But I think that was important to say, because I guess, yeah, that was important. And that could fall under entrepreneurs, because with all of the layoffs and stuff that are happening, I'm sure a lot of people are going to start consulting on a number of things. And it's important that you consult with integrity. There's a reason why our industry gets a bad rap. And part of it is because of how we show up. And if we show up better, if we show up different, we would get very different nicknames. People shouldn't see a consultant coming and automatically assume you're going to be on some BS. That's not good. We have to take ownership of some of that. All right. So honestly, on that note, I'll leave it off again. Lewin's three-step model is the OG, triple OG of change management. Easy for anybody to hang their hat on. But I would say if you have a large change project, or it's something that's much more complex, combine this model with others. This one might be good for how you sequence out communication, just because it's very simple and straightforward to the point. But you're probably going to need another more complex model to actually navigate the change process. Let me know down in the comments, have you heard of Kurt Lewin's three-step model? Have you used it before? Do you like it? What was your experience? Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and I will catch y'all on the next one. Bye.